Hey, what's up? It's Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, also 2008 world champion Boston Celtics. Now, you're listening to the Boston Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media.
Welcome to Boston's Big Three, episode 94. Live presented by Ride the Wave Media, hosted by yours truly, the Spike King, Brandon Watabe, and Tyler Miller. We got a few weeks running now, but we got a few things to talk about. But before we get to our main topics, you guys got opening takes? Opening thoughts? What you thinking?
Yes, I do, and you brought it up before the show. Penn State basketball. Best year they've ever had. Lamar Stevens, he's killing it on the Cavs. He was like one game away. I think it was literally 13 points away from being like the all-time scorer. Is that a 13 or 31?
Either
like
way, Penn State's all-time leader?
Yeah, ever. Ever. It's not a good list, but ever. Big Ten cancels their tournament. March Madness instantly gets canceled. Penn State bounces back, and we go 8-13 or 9-13 if we won tonight. I don't know. I checked out on the team. We had all the hype in the world. Let me just say this. If I did one thing in this world, I helped start a basketball school social media wave or whatever. We were selling T-shirts, the whole thing. We were meeting them off the private jet at the airports after they come back from Michigan State. Like, the whole works. We were cooking. March was buzzing. We were literally just about to have the first March Madness that we were about to be a top four seed ever.
And then what happened?
I think Corona hits, and I'm trying to get excited for March Madness this year, and I can't. I cannot. Like, this is supposed to be the next time I watch March Madness, I was supposed to be at a football school that was all watching a basketball team do the impossible. But here I am, cooped up in Corona. My opening take at is I'm down horrendous.
Similar to Tyler's, I'm hyped for March Madness. We're 2 weeks out. UConn's back. I've been saying it for the last few months. James Bouknight, RJ Cole, best backcourt in the country, leading the way. Don't let the Huskies get hot in March.
Speaking about being a couple weeks away, we're a couple weeks away from the start of the NFL free agency, which should be exciting. But the next 3 to 4 weeks are going to be absolutely insufferable when it comes to the New England Patriots and who the hell they're going to get. Because every single day, it's somebody new. Kyle Rudolph, then all of a sudden Jared Cook's cut, Golden Tate's cut. Everyone's coming to the Patriots. Every single media reporter out there is going to say it. Every single fan's going to say it. I'm getting sick and tired of it. Start being realistic who the Patriots will get and who they won't get. And it's going to be a humongous question mark for the next, not even 3 to 4 weeks, the next 3 months. There's going to be so much movement. Everyone's coming to New England. Money grows on trees. We have unlimited cap space. I am just sick and tired of waking up every day, going on Twitter and seeing this. Oh, there's potential that this guy is coming. Oh, my sources say that he likes to go to the Patriots. I'm sick of it. No one knows anything. No one knows a single thing. Stop it.
That's why the Red Sox got labeled the interest kings this offseason. Every single free agent that's on the market, the Red Sox are interested. These guys are interested. This guy's interested. Both parties are interested. Let's make a deal. It's all noise until there's ink on paper. So,
well, you know, Patriots were interested in Kyle Rudolph 2 years ago. Yeah, because they had Tom Brady on their team. That's why they were interested. And they don't have Tom Brady anymore.
We're the interest kings. It's the interest city. The interesting city. But moving on to our main topics this week, the Boston Celtics back on track. Everyone that was saying for the second week in a row, everyone that wanted Kemba traded, bone off, go kick rocks. Kemba's our guy. Tyler, do you have something to say about Kemba Walker?
Yeah.
There will be no slander here.
Hold on. It's not slander. It's just repeating what I've seen in the past. So I've been labeled a green teamer before by Spike King on the show if you're a long time listener. But this year, considering like what's at stake, like with the future of the team, whatever, the future is pretty locked up. It's about who we have next. We all knew the Celtics were going to bounce back. I don't think that's a surprise. However, we saw that their consistency is always going to be an issue. And that's just because they're young. Like, you, it's a young team still. Even with Jason Tatum and Brown being like 4 or 5 years in the league or whatever, they're still young. Jason Tatum literally turned 23 today. Happy birthday, Jason Tatum.
Happy birthday, Jason Tatum.
Thanks for listening.
I still do not think that Kemba Walker is going to do what he needs to do to help us win a championship. And that's not a slight on Kemba Walker. Buddy, there's a lot of good guards in the league. Kemba's might be on the decline if we're talking his whole career. Who knows?
Kyle Lowry won a championship 2 years ago.
Kawhi Leonard won a championship. Kyle Lowry just
happened to be one of the we happen to have a Jason Tatum on the team.
Yeah, I mean, that'll work. But, like, I'm not buying it in yet. Like, it's a 3-game win streak, maybe 4 if we win tomorrow. I'll be hype. Obviously, like, I'm a huge Celtics fan. I'm just being realistic this year. It is close in the East. I think we went from like 9th to 4th. So like, there's still so much season left that people think the skies are falling, but like, we have to see what happens. And if they do use a trade, we'll see Carl Anthony Towns, or if we save for the offseason. So like, it's still up in the air because literally, like you said last week, everybody want Kemba's head on a stick. Everybody was going ballistic.
Everybody,
now this week is all sunshine and rainbows.
So, not I, Celtics fans. Not I, sir. Together,
we'll be good.
I think you're right. The Celtics are on the up and up. I think inconsistency has been the common theme this year. They've won few games. Like, basketball is a game of runs, and you look at the win column, it's the same exact way. Celtics are winning 2, 3, 4 in a row, but then they're losing 1, 2, and then maybe getting back in the win column. That's where you got to see some improvement. They got to keep streaking these wins together. I have seen no reason why this win streak should not continue through the All-Star break. Hopefully our guys get rested up. I know both of them are in the All-Star game and the 3-point contest now. So I don't know if those guys will be rested, but if one guy that you know is going to be rested for the second half of the season, it's going to be the man we're talking about, Kemba Walker, who's already shown that he's come back from his injury. He's probably going to start playing the second nights of back-to-backs in the second half of the season. So he's going to be the guy that we are all looking towards in the second half of the season to see what kind of consistency, what kind of runs the Celtics can keep putting together.
Why would you even want to root against Kemba Walker and put him down? It's a win-win situation for Boston Celtics. If he's awesome, good. You're going to win games. Guess what? If he's also awesome, trade value goes up. That's what you want. If this guy over here, Tyler Mills, says, I want Carl Anthony Towns, whether it's at the trade deadline or in the offseason, whatever ends up happening, Kemba Walker is going to be a piece in any trade you end up doing. And the fact is, if he can continue playing at a top level, that means his value goes up. That's what you want. You should be rooting for Kemba Walker.
It's very clear. I do not hate Kemba Walker. I love Kemba Walker. I was so hyped. Like, literally, like, I'm a big Kemba Walker fan. However, just because you're a fan doesn't make it like this is the best choice. I don't think Kemba Walker is the best choice. And like I said, it's not a slight on Kemba. But I don't know. I'm not sold on Kemba being the thing.
If you were to do your hypothetical Carl Anthony Towns trade from last week, who's our starting point guard?
In a perfect world, Peyton Pritchard.
He's not there yet. You're not going to start a rookie going into it into a championship
run. The perfect world. In a perfect
world. Okay, but he's also older. He's literally like older than everybody.
Right.
He's older than Tatum, and he's like 2 months younger than Brown. And he's been playing out of his mind. Like, he's the most comfortable backup point guard that I have right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not giving the ball to Jeff Teague, not giving the ball to Smart to bring it up, honestly.
Dudes on like having Kemba's head on a stick. We need to put Jeff Teague's head on a stick. This dude cannot play basketball. Yeah, every time he brings the ball up the floor, I hate watching this guy run the offense. He is not good at basketball anymore.
I'd give the point guard to Tatum or Brown because it doesn't really matter all that much. You just bring the ball up and let the wings cook. I don't know. But if we want to be talking about people who are good at basketball, Robert Williams is my favorite player, maybe in Boston sports right now. I've been a Robert Williams fan ever since he was drafted, the Time Lord and all that stuff. And then he just balls and shows out against the Clippers.
Not even just against the Clippers. This is a consistent theme during the win streak this week.
But like Babs just said, if we were to pull off a big trade, the better he's playing, the more he plays. He has playing good for us, but good trade value. So like,
right.
As much as I love Robert Williams, I do think that if the Celtics do make a trade, we're losing Pritchard, we're losing Williams. And then if it's a megastar coming here, we're going to lose Kemba, maybe Smart. But like the people who are playing now, well, now for us, I'm not sure how much longer they're going to be here. So like, right. I still haven't fully invested after the trade.
You'd be all in on that team.
Not saying I'm not full in now. I'm watching every game. I was going to say, I haven't really bought into the team part yet, but I'm still going to watch them.
So after the trade deadline, you're all in. Yeah.
I mean, I have no other choice.
That's fair.
Like, I'm going to have to root for him. Right now, I have no idea what to root for because, like we were talking about, like, I don't know. The Celtics are always in trades.
It's a lot of question marks going into the All-Star break, considering, like, the Celtics have been, like, a really bouncy up-and-down team that we've been talking about. It's just a lot of question marks. If they keep playing like this, do you really need to make a trade? They're playing like a not 100% Clippers team. They're not playing like the strongest competition, but still like just narrowly squeaking out some of these wins, especially the one against Washington, a 1-point win that easily could have gone the other way. So it is, you got to take the wins that we have with a grain of salt, because you're not exactly sure like the value of them, like kind of like the March Madness thing. You got to look at the value of a win, not just the W itself.
It's the small things like you just said. So say that Wizards game, Jason Tatum scored 6 points in the final minute. They shouldn't even won that game. He won them that game. That's what you want to see as a Celtics fan. Cause you know that, all right, this is something that we hope we can continue seeing year after year as it continues to develop in the NBA.
Right. I think they're going to stand pat. That's what I think.
Well, people are really mad at the Wizards game, and I get why. Like, it shouldn't have been close, but like, it's a meaningless game. Like, we were talking about, like, the Celtics should beat the Wizards. The fact that we got a win, like, oh, we did our job. It's not going to say, oh, 1 by 1 point when you do records at the end. It's a W.
Right.
Wouldn't you like rather this scenario in a random game in February, wherever it was, like, this is the game that we keep blowing close games at the end. Like, this is the game that.
Yeah. And you're not going to remember these ones. You're not going to remember these ones when we get down the line into April, May.
Yeah, it's not like they were practicing, but I'm like, this is the game. Like, if you were to have a close game that you could blow, but like, let's see what happens right now. And they still won. Like, so it's just an all around, like, I took it as a success, especially after Luka just buzzer beat us. And then
heartbreaking
the next night. It was brutal.
But they're back on the win streak. So my prediction going into the All-Star break / second half of the season / trade deadline, I always get hyped up that there's a big trade coming, and I was convinced that it was going to be the year. I have zero confidence in that, like, whatsoever. I think Danny Ainge is going to make some calls, but at the end of the day, I think the Celtics, if they do anything, it'll be a minor move. I think they're going to sit on their hands again, and it's just going to be kind of frustrating for Celtics fans in general, but they're going to look at the pieces they got now and see that you have a legit backup point guard. You have a legit starting center, either of the future or present in Tristan Thompson and Robert Williams, guys that can come off the bench and just provide energy. I think Danny Ainge may sit on his hands the trade deadline, and that trade exception may not be used until the offseason. Now that I didn't know that was an option, but I think that's going to be something that we should expect, because I just don't see the Celtics making a jumbo splash again for a little while. But
what are your thoughts on the All-Star game?
I'm excited.
Should it happen?
I'm excited.
I mean, I'm obviously going to watch it. Every basketball fan is going to watch
it. It's going to be basketball on all day.
It's going to. We have a 33% chance to win the three-point contest. Us as Celtics. Tatum and Brown.
Could you imagine? That would be so exciting if it was just the final round was just Jason versus Jalen. I'd be hyped, because you're gassing them up the entire time. They're going to be jawing at each other, and it's going to be a lot of smiles. It's going to be a fun All-Star weekend.
I don't know the betting odds, but Cassius Stanley is going to, far and away, he's going to put on one of the best dunk performances of all time. Like, this kid is ridiculous.
People are underrating this dunk contest because you don't know the names.
Like, right after the dunk contest, Cassius Stanley has the best high school mixtape ever of all time. Right after the dunk contest, people are going to say, and this is one of the best dunk contests of all time from one guy. Like, he's going to put that much of a show on.
Is he going to score anything under a 10?
Watch, if you read or this, under, not under the best 15? Dunk contest of all time. So in case he goes on a graphic, I want to be quoted correctly. Cassius Stanley is going to put on one of the single best dunk performances of all time.
I'll make that tonight, because I want you to be wrong. But I also want you to be right.
Yeah, I just want to be misquoted.
I got you. I mean, take things in their proper context. Babs knows this.
Click 100%. Pause. If you're listening to us, click pause. Go to YouTube. Type in Cassius Stanley High School. Watch that for the next 2 hours. Come back, and here's the point where I still I say I told you so.
Who's the other guy? It's Obi Toppin and Cassius Stanley, and who's the other guy? Doesn't even matter.
Anthony Simons.
Anthony. Anybody on the gotcha. Line, yeah, I'm not too excited about that part, but that's during halftime, right? During the game?
Halftime.
Okay. Skills, do you know how they're splitting it up, like skills and 3-point? Yeah, where's that?
I don't think they're doing a track, are they? I think it's just East versus West this year. Okay. They're doing skills and 3-point before the game, first half, dunk contest, second half.
Interesting.
East versus West should be what it should be. That should something that carries forward. I don't like the whole drafting thing.
The draft was fun, though.
Yeah, I just think
the draft part is fun, but traditional. Like,
yeah. It's always funny seeing who the last guy to go is. I remember it was our guy Al Horford when he was on the Celtics a few years ago. Just
bag of dust.
Mr. Irrelevant, and you're still an all-star, though, so it works out. But all-star weekend coming up. Be excited. It's going to be fun. I'll quote Tyler Miller properly. But moving on. Babs, what are the latest Patriots rumors that you've been hearing on Twitter, on Instagram? I know you kind of alluded to it earlier during your opening take, but what's the latest in the rumor mill? Where are we at?
So first of all, Marcus Cannon throwing out a tweet. If you listen to this, it was probably 2 days ago now, of him benching squatting 650 pounds. Because of all the talk about him retiring, he wanted to throw that out there on Twitter, and got the Hightower commenting with some eye emojis. David Andrews, they're all doing a little trolling, I think, because now the major media in Boston starting to pick up Hightower. I don't believe it. I don't believe the Cannon thing. Spike influence right there, by the way, too. He's been influencing these Boston media members at both EEI and Sports Hub about it. So it's interesting to watch people dig their grave.
I don't think any of those guys are retiring, by the way.
I think that they are, and that I'll believe it when I see it, when they step on the field.
Will you eat your words if none of them retire?
No, absolutely not.
This isn't the energy we need, Babs. I am boots on the ground with you. You're going to be right. This is going to be something.
Tyler, think about the content. Think about the content. All these people are doubting it.
And
just
if you're wrong,
let me throw this news out there.
Wrong, more people get mad at you. More people find out about you. But hey, it's a win-win. If we're talking a lot of win-wins today, say you're wrong, more people are mad at you. That's eyes.
I just say this.
Continue.
I can be right about something, and I don't get credit for it. The example here, Kyle Van Noy. I went on a different podcast, MGT Media, whatever, and I said, I just know that Kyle Van Noy's tenure with the Dolphins is going to be cut short. What happened? He got cut after 1 year. But Babs, you don't know anything. You got lucky. You must say that with every player. No, I just know that it was not going to last in Miami, and it didn't last in Miami. So just speaking about Kyle Van Noy, the second he gets released, everyone says, oh, what a reunion we could have in New England. Kyle Van Noy comes back to New England Patriots. Kyle Van Noy doing his little trolling as well, too. He's liking everybody's tweets about him and the Patriots. He's liking everything that goes on there. He's trying to build up that momentum, right? Here's the take that I see with Kyle Van Noy and the Patriots. It's a bad look if you bring him back, because it's an ego thing. Because when Kyle Van Noy goes into that locker room, he's like, you guys needed me back here. You guys went 7-9 last year and you had no linebackers. And now all of a sudden, oh, we need Kyle Van Noy to come back, because Miami, they went over 500. They had 10 wins last year. And you could say, Babs, what about Jamie Collins? I mean, they brought him back. I mean, the Pats were coming off of a Super Bowl victory and they had a decent team around him. So yeah, just come back on cheap money. I think that it would be hurtful long-term bringing Kyle Van Noy back for that locker room. Would not be right for the younger guys that are trying to get their reps in and get better each and every week. Kyle Van Noy was traded for a bag of peanuts, was a D player, brought into the Bill Belichick system, turned into a B-plus player, and then said, see you later, go make your money. I got the max value out of you. That's what Bill Belichick does with all these guys. He gets the max value out of each and every single one of them.
But fans doesn't pay their quarterback like they are?
Fans with sources. I was told this. And when I'm told things, I'm not a journalist. I just put them out there. And if I'm wrong, cool. I'm wrong. And if I'm right, you don't give me credit for it. So I don't give a fuck anymore. Kyle Van Noy, his wife, has said that she wants to come back to New England, has some family and friends over here. They have some people, but there's some resentment when they left because of the way the fans treated Van Noy on his way out and his tenure down in Miami. And that Van Noy's friends have moved down to Nashville during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And Van Noy's made a couple trips down to Nashville. And Van Noy's next move is going to be for his family. He wants to live in an area for his family. So that's why I've linked Van Noy to Tennessee. Yes, Tennessee has cap issues. And guess what? They're going to cut players and they're going to do certain things. And Van Noy might end up in Nashville. That's where I think he's going to go. I don't think he's coming back to New England, and nor does he need to come back to New England. There's going to be no New England reunion with Kyle Van Noy. The next
who else is coming to New England?
The next thing with the Patriots is Jarrett Stidham. There was an actual praise for Jarrett Stidham on Patriots.com. Paul Perillo said the Patriots should stick with Stidham. And his reasoning for that, was, do you want to keep playing this QB carousel in this free agency? You grab Cam Newton, you grab Ryan Fitzpatrick, you grab Marcus Mariota, and these just one and done type of years? Or do you just want to stick with Stidham, see what you have in the kid, also draft somebody, and go that way? Go within the draft, find the next guy that way. Don't keep playing dart at the board, free agency quarterback. It's not going to fix this team. Try to do it homegrown on what you have in there. It was the first pro Stidham article I have seen in probably a year.
It might be the first one ever, honestly.
No, he's had some good ones last year, right before Cam Newton signed.
Yeah. But then after Cam Newton signed, it was all negative.
Forty spoke highly of him. Gilmore spoke highly of him. There was some good articles about
the Spike King speaks highly of him.
Always. I'm going to have his back all the way through and through, because when he starts week one, I'm there. I'm on it. We're on it. Boston's big threes. I'll extend the olive branch to you and Tyler. That's fine. I can do that.
I'm over
it. I look out for the people around me, but I'll remember the haters that speak down on his name.
Remember me, Babs. Jarrett Stidham is not the future.
And I'm just saying, guys, again, I've been honing this, putting this out there. David Andrews needs to be the number one priority for the New England Patriots in free agency in 2 weeks. He needs to be signed. Let him go and find out what his market value is. If it's $11 million, $12 million, whatever it may be, he ain't taking a pay cut to stay in New England. And you need to sign him, because the last thing you want to do is lose Joe Tooney and lose David Andrews. And then there goes your offensive line. You got to figure out that center position right away. I'm gonna keep talking about it. Next week, I'll talk about it. And the week after, I'll talk about it. And hopefully in three episodes from now, I'm saying David Andrews re-signed with the New England Patriots. I'm happy.
Babs,
good enough to get him back? Like, is he worth it, like, to even go after? Or is it just a nostalgia factor?
Yeah, no. If you look back, and I believe, what game was it? I think it might have been the Buffalo game, like, early on in that game, and he was hyping up that offense. He was yelling at them. There's that video of him just yelling at that offense to kind of get them together when they were pretty much down big in that game. You need that on your team. You need that veteran guy. Van Noy jersey, Brendan Watabi show. I have one too. That's my first color rush jerseys of Van Noy. I have the same one, and I like Van Noy.
Bring him home.
Player. I like Van Noy as a player. I'm just saying, I don't think it's the right fit for the New England Patriots. I don't care if he wants to come back for $500,000. I just don't think it's. I don't think it's going to be worth it.
It's a fun one. It's got like the little NFL 100 everything.
You know him. Jamie Collins and Hightower all come up with the boogeymen. We're the boogeymen. We're here to scare you. And then they turn into the boogermen, and they got completely buried against Baltimore, and they weren't the same anymore.
Boogermen.
Boogermen.
I like that. So who else is coming?
I mean,
give me a name that's coming to New England.
I heard he
all these guys are crossing off the list.
All right. So there was an article today. That Drew Brees still has not retired yet. Okay. And I'm still in the Jameis Winston camp. I think he needs to get looked at. I really think Jameis Winston is going to get signed in New England. I want Jameis Winston. I'm all for Jameis Winston.
Is he a free agent, or does he have a
year? He's a free agent. He's
Jameis
a free agent.
Is? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And I know we're talking about him. And I just still
was all I want.
I still want Jameis.
I didn't even think of it at all until you brought it up last week. And ever since then, I'm like, yes, he's going to be the quarterback.
And people, I've been saying it to my little groups around me in person and stuff. They ask my opinions, my crappy opinions. And I say, I really like Jameis Winston. Really, really 30 interceptions. And I said it last week. He can turn that down. Belichick can help him out. I think T.Y. Hilton needs to be looked at in the wide receiver area because he's somebody that you're going to look at, make that face and say, whoa, he's past his prime. Yeah. He doesn't have anything anymore. He's a veteran in Indianapolis. Nothing like taking Indianapolis as leftovers, Philip Dorsett, and then turning him into something. I think T.Y. Hilton you can get on cheap. And Marvin Jones Jr., I did a little thing on Instagram, put the numbers together. And he's played in 8 seasons, but the last 7 – first season doesn't count. Last 7 seasons, 50 receptions he averages. He averages 7 touchdowns in the season. Marvin Jones Jr. is consistent, and that's what you need. And Marvin Jones Jr., by the way, is a defender of Matt Patricia, probably one of the only players that defends Matt Patricia. Always defended him in the media. Guess where Matt Patricia is? New England. So I think that Marvin Jones Jr. is somebody that would probably be one of the only people out there that might take a pay cut or less pay to come play in New England for Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and be a veteran guy like the Sanu guy that they needed a couple years ago that just never happened. I think Marvin Jones could fit that role.
I mean, it happened. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. I mean, it just – he got hurt.
Right.
He just couldn't figure out the playbook.
Where do you think the Patriots are, say – I don't know what their win total is going to be set at in like whatever sports book you want to look at. But if I gave you the line of 9-7, the Patriots are next year. Are you taking that over under in win
totals? I think 9.5 wins is going to be where it's going to be set. I think that's fair. And yeah. I'd take the over. I'd take the over on it.
I think they're going to be around 8-8, you know.
It depends
what they do this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what we're putting it in. If I put it in right now, I'd say under because they don't have a quarter. It's just Tittum and they don't have receivers.
Edelman's their best quarterback right now.
We don't have anything yet. We'll bring this up in about a month, and I think that's the right time that you can look at this. Again, the Patriots in 2 weeks when the free agency market's there, if Cam Newton's not signed with the New England Patriots within that first couple of days, it's over. They're not, they have to have a decision made right away. They need to have what they're set in stone on. But again, it's timing. Things can fall into place. Dak Prescott doesn't get franchise tagged. Let's say, he's available. You might be able to pay for him. Cuts can happen. Mariota gets cut. Let's take a look at Mariota. Jameis Winston. They take a look at James.
Russell
Things
Wilson.
Are going to get dragged out. And that's why I'm bringing back to my point. I'm going to get sick and tired of seeing every hour. This is the time of the year where everyone's DMing me. What do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? Nonstop. And all I can say is if they come here, cool. I'll support it. Unless it's Cam Newton. I'm not supporting that.
Will you still support Stidham if he goes elsewhere?
Yeah. I'm on team Stidham.
Really?
I'm on team Stidham. Yep. And it's kind of like if you were team Garoppolo and then Garoppolo went somewhere else. That's the way. I'm not comparing the two and saying that.
I feel like they just kind of get forgotten once they get traded or leave.
Yeah, I'm Team Stidham. I've dug it so deep that I'm just there. I'm right. You're in too far.
It's never too late to get out, Babs. You can leave whenever you want.
When they sign Jameis Winston, it's a win-win for me.
And you're cashing out. You're cashing out on the Jarrett Stidham hype if Jameis signs.
Dude. I get both quarterbacks that I want. I got Jameis Winston here. If he starts, cool. I want a Jameis Winston. And if I get Stidham, cool. Stidham.
I'm cool with Jameis Winston coming here. He's an exciting guy. He's got a fun personality.
No one's talking about Jameis Winston. And that bothers me because it's just so classic Bill Belichick. That guy.
Fly under the radar.
Telling somebody. Let me tell you something. And this sounds completely stupid. But Sean Payton and Bill Belichick. The Saints and Patriots, they have some connections. There's got to be something where they know Drew Brees is not retiring, but it's being said like he might retire. So no one's talking about Jameis Winston on purpose because they all figure, well, the Saints likes Jameis. They're going to sign him. And that somehow Bill Belichick gets to swoop right in and get Jameis Winston for super cheap. And it's Sean Payton saying, here you go. Thank you. Like, here you go. I'm helping you out. We can't sign him anyways. Drew Brees is here for another year. There's something there. There's got to be something there.
When was the last time they made a deal? It was that Brandon Cooks deal, right?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks deal. Like they made something like kind of under the table, like shady shit. Sean Payton and Bill are like that.
Yeah, Bounty Gate and Deflate Gate.
They know. They're doing something in the background. They are putting false stuff in the media and making sure people are not talking about Winston and they're we don't know about Breeze yet. Like I'm just saying, like them two are colluding a little bit.
I don't know how I feel about that, but I definitely think that there is potential there. But hopefully that's starting to trend upwards.
They talk about, here's the top 10 list of free agents, like quarterbacks that should come to New England, right? Like say Felger, Mass talk about it. Winston's not even on the list. Why is Winston on the list? And the stigma by them is, well, he's with the Saints. They're going to sign him. He's a free agent. He's a free agent out there. How can people still look away from 5,000 yards and 33 touchdowns? That bothers me. It's not even a physical thing that hurts
him. And I think it would work in New England too, because if, say, hypothetically, he comes to New England, he throws 30 interceptions again, say he only throws like 20 touchdowns. The Patriots still have a good defense. They can counterbalance that.
Tyler, if you sign Jameis Winston like the first or second day in free agency, don't you think that that would lure in wide receivers that want to come play for Jameis Winston? Don't you think
you have to get a quarterback to pitch receivers, and by the time you get a quarterback, maybe all the receivers are gone. Obviously,
no, because some of them are going to wait and see how other things fall into place.
Okay, but
I'm just saying, if they got Jameis Winston the first hour of free agency before anything else happens, like Pat signed Jameis Winston, wouldn't you think that move would definitely lure people in?
What about a guy like Matt Ryan?
No, don't want him. And he can never come here.
That was quick. That was quick. No. I mean, I was just saying, I've heard his name floated around as the Falcons might move on from, and that's just another quarterback available. So.
Something, lastly for the Patriots, so we can move on, is that Rundog sent this to me tonight, and he said, I was bringing up the whole, like, will they even go for a quarterback in the first round? Do you want to tie up guaranteed money to a quarterback that's not even going to play? Blah, 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 blah. He goes, people forget about this. And this came out in 2018 and then again in 2019. Bill Belichick wanted to trade up and get Baker Mayfield if the Browns did not select him first overall.
Interesting.
And that's according to Baker Mayfield himself and Baker Mayfield's agent.
Do you think they know that who's going to draft him? I don't think they know that immediately before the phone call.
The point is like, hey, we're interested in you. And the general feeling is, hey, if you slip a pick and the Browns will pick you, we might make a move. Like that's probably what was said. I'm sure that's what was said.
Okay, so it was like a hypothetical situation.
So everyone's saying Bill's been very aggressive, which I think it's bullshit, but Bill's been very aggressive. He wants to study like all these quarterbacks. Say if, you know, what's it, like Justin Fields falls to 3 or 4. Maybe Bill's like, we're making a trade. We're trading our 15th. We're trading Gilmore. We're trading this. We're getting him. We can get him. We know we can with that set. Maybe that's something that happens.
The problem with the Patriots is they've never really gone all in on a guy like that. Even the quarterback they've had the last 20 years, they didn't really invest in him for a minute. They had Drew Bledsoe.
That's why it doesn't make sense to me that they would do that. And I think that you don't want to trade up all those assets and trade away,
right?
To get that guy, and you don't know if they're going to pan out or not. It's crazy. But Bill Belichick can put somebody in that spot most likely and win games. Say if you had Justin Fields and you went 7-9, just the same exact way you just did, you'd be pretty happy. Well, man, 7-9 in his rookie year, that's not bad.
And he had crazy numbers too.
Jim Murray said this on his Saturday show. Which 7-9 would you have rather had this season, the Patriots or the Chargers? Justin Herbert going 7-9 or Cam Newton 7-9?
You'd rather have Justin Herbert. One was easily more exciting than the other.
Yeah, but I think even with Stidham, if you went next year and Stidham starts and you go 7, if you go 8-8 or 9-7, whatever it may be, 8 or 9 wins, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
because you're on.
Okay, wait, that Chargers, that thing's super fair. Obviously, like you can, like yes, the Chargers a much more fun 7-9, but the Patriots have been the Patriots. Obviously, like. Once we go 7-9, it's not gonna be as fun. That was
okay.
I like
that's a great point.
But like, if the Patriots started Stidham last year and they went 7-9, you'd at least be like, okay, well, we know we weren't gonna make the Super Bowl or whatever, but they this kid got 7 wins. Like, that's not that bad. Let's see what happens the next year.
Are there any rookies that you would take over Stidham in this draft that aren't named Lawrence or Fields? Or is it Stidham?
I don't know. I don't know these draft boards the way Babs and Joe do.
No, I mean, if you get Mac Jones, like that guy is not starting week one. Like, he'd be someone that you need to develop in the system.
Big Mac Jones.
That's
I really do. I really do hope that the Patriots do get Mac Jones at 15 or Trey Lance. I don't care. Like, just get that quarterback, because then you can go to Stidham and be like, this is your shot. And if you fucking go 0-3 or 0-4, that new kid's going to start. Like, yeah, you could just start getting him to groom in that. And they have such young pieces. The N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, Damian Harris. They have Isaiah Wynn's young. Sony Michel's a young kid. So bringing in some youth, which they haven't had in a while, in quarterback position, they could bring in some chemistry there too. Because Cam Newton's 32, 33. That's older in terms of age at a quarterback, where they can have someone at 23, 24. So...
yeah, the Patriots continue to take up airtime on this show. So, teams that have been getting more airtime on the show, the Bruins, have not looked great since we started talking about them about 2 weeks ago. Barbie Girl, Lake Tahoe.
The Boston Big Three bump was a mistake.
We
kept it as it is.
They were doing fine without airtime on our show. Maybe we should go back to the way it was before, because they were winning a lot of games. We talk about them once and people started watching them. It's all downhill from there. They're just trending downwards.
I stopped wearing the hat. I just stopped wearing the Bruins hat.
Maybe it's
your
fault.
That was talking hockey. Anyway.
it's a weird situation, because they're still scoring goals. It's just not at the same clip as it was before. Like, you look at the Tahoe game, they're scoring 7-8 goals. It's like, that team's not going to lose again. But the goaltending's been where it's been a problem, because they've been, you look at the New York series where they had, I think, three games in New York in the 6 day span, against two against the Rangers, one against the Isles. I think they allowed a combined 17 goals in those three games. I know one was 7, one was 6. It might've been 4 the very next one, but Bruins defense just looked non-existent. I probably could have got a few shots on goal against the whatever defense they were throwing at, but the New York teams definitely ate that up and got three wins out of them. And Bruins ain't getting anything. They didn't get a single point in overtime. But today, Zdeno Chara made his return to Boston. First game back in an opposing uniform since before he was with the Bruins. Coming in with the Capitals, Bruins tied 1-1, went to OT, and then the Bruins lost in a shootout. But David Pastrnak got his 10th goal of the season, so he's still leading the way. So the Bruins still have that upside. I just don't think – I don't know. I don't know enough about hockey to say they're right where they want to be. Right? I mean, you don't want to be losing games, but Bruins are still turning out, I think.
Fine to have a cold streak right now. You need to have a cold streak eventually, but do it now.
Celtics did too. You saying, Tyler?
As someone who doesn't watch hockey, and I know little about hockey, didn't like Tuukka. I thought Tuukka lost the team or whatever everyone was freaking out about for Corona last year or whatever. Like, is it a surprise that he's starting?
It's not, because he's still elite. He is still one of the top 10 goaltenders in the league, from my understanding. And again, from another guy that watches hockey but doesn't know
elite,
a lot about hockey.
Is elite. But does elite mean top 10? Because that's a third of the league.
I mean, yes, but you have backup goaltenders on each team too. Like,
oh yeah.
The thing that the Bruins are doing that they've done well the last two seasons is they've got a good backup in Yaroslav Halak, who comes in like on the second night of a back-to-back, especially with this season when you're playing games every other night, you're going to want to give your goaltender the rest. Similar to like a pitcher in baseball. These guys need their rest.
Get a goalie has to be terrifying.
Oh, yeah. You're just standing there. You just got to stay in front of everything. Imagine like trying to guard Giannis. You got to stay in front of him, but you got to stay in front of a hockey puck going like 120 miles an hour. No, thank you, sir. No, thank you. But Tyler, give us a take about hockey. Give us a take about hockey. Cook something up.
It's very cold
on the spot.
You know what they say about hockey, it's cold.
Hockey's cold. It is. It's ice down there. But
SNL skit or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not a big SNL guy. Go Bees. Yeah,
or not. Maybe we shouldn't say
that. I think they'll be all right. They're plastic in a Barbie world, something like that. But moving on to a team that's not cold, the Boston Red Sox are back. Red Sox started spring training down in Fort Myers, Florida, in the last 2 weeks, started playing games finally this week. Baseball is officially back, and the Red Sox are, I mean, I said they're hot. They're sweating down there in Florida. It's always hot down there, ask Jay. But they've got 10 home runs already this spring training. The next closest teams have 5. So they're hitting ding-dongs at an alarming rate. They're on pace to probably hit about 600 by the time spring training is over. So that is definitely an upside. The problem with the Red Sox is they still lack depth in pitching. So that's going to be the where the focus is at this season. But they should be a team that's kind of contending for a wild card spot. They're, the MLB is not doing like the expanded playoff that they did last year during the Corona season, during the 60-game sprint. They're going back to normal 160-game season, pretending everything's normal. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on about where the Red Sox are finishing. Everyone's got them finishing right about 80 wins. So we'll see if that is enough to indeed sneak into a playoff race. I don't think the 80 wins will get you into the playoffs. I think it'll definitely make the stretch run interesting, but not enough to get into the playoffs. Hopefully they find a way to get that around, make a big trade for a pitcher, something like that. They need to find an extra 9 or 10 wins somewhere along the way during that 160 game season. Babs, Red Sox.
Chemistry, Alex Cora.
Chemistry,
Alex Cora. Just that's all it is. And if they're hitting and they're getting on base, you're hitting those ding-dongs, getting RBIs, they'll make a trade. They'll get somebody. They got to do something because you got to get that quick fix.
Right. And that's the difference about this management group in Chaim Bloom versus Dave Dombrowski of previous years. Chaim's not going to trade away all the talent that we're accruing in our like minor league system. He's going to like look to the future. Look how the Sox can be competitive for the next 10, 15 years and not just the next 2-3 years where they can try to win a World Series. They're going to want to be doing this year in and year out. And I think people need to trust that because Chaim's the guy that built this Tampa Bay Rays team that was in the World Series a few months ago. So he has definitely earned my trust. I think he should earn the trust of fans elsewhere throughout Red Sox Nation. I'm just excited to see what kind of product the Red Sox are going to offer us this season. If they can be the first Boston team to go over 500 in the next month or so.
Are you going to opening day?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't miss it.
Did you already get your tickets?
Not yet. They haven't gone on sale yet.
I thought I saw something about opening day tickets this year, and the Red Sox are going to be $350 just to get in.
I'm cool with it. It's opening day. Opening day.
I'll just go 2 days later when it's like $30.
I'm going to go to that whole series, man. I mean, opening series against the Baltimore Orioles. You can't beat that. That's exactly what you need. Get the Red Sox, get some momentum right out the gate. It's what you need. I'm excited.
Brandon, how for real is this team?
The Boston Red Sox?
No, hold on. Take your hat, take your Red Sox fan hat off. Because that's what I did this year. 2021 is the year of accountability. So what are your predictions?
Celtics, or not Celtics. This is the Celtics. The Boston Red Sox, they're going to be an exciting team this year. Last year, I'm the biggest Sox fan here. I'm the biggest Sox fan to be a part of this team. It was boring last year. Like, I almost left. Like, I just didn't want to watch baseball last year, man. The team was just that bad. The team's going to be exciting this year. You bring in some talent like Kike Hernandez, former world champion with the Dodgers from last year. This guy's exciting. He's going to be one of those energy providers, like the Brock Holtz of previous seasons. He's just going to be able to provide a spark plug. If he's starting every day, the guy's got utility. He can play every position on the field. He even pitched a few games for the Dodgers last year when they were down big. But the Red Sox are going to be definitely a good watch this year. They're going to bring a good product on the field. I don't think, like, if I had to put $100 on it, I would say they're the first team to not make the playoffs this year. So they're the next one in if they have that expanded playoff, but they're going back to the standard 5 teams per league in the American and National League this year. So I think the Red Sox are going to be that 6th best team out of them all. I think they're probably finished 2 or 3 games out of the playoffs in a race that's really close. And I think the Blue Jays are probably going to be the team that sneaks in over them. So
when's opening day?
April 1st, baby. It's coming quick.
Hey, trying to go to some games? April 1st? What else is coming back April 1st?
What's coming back April 1st? Baja Blast?
John Cena's John Cena hosting Wipeout. Coming back April 1st.
Wipeout! Wipeout's back?
Right before we hopped on. with John Cena. I mean,
no way.
Speaking of,
wait, we got to talk about this. Wipeout's back.
Yeah, yeah, but it's John Cena and Wipeout. I saw it literally like 10 minutes before recording because when I texted him like 5 minutes, I was finishing up.
I just remember the old ESPN guys used to do it.
Yeah, what's his name? John Anderson.
John Anderson. Yeah, it was two Johns. I remember.
Yeah. But also, speaking of random athletes and random things, balls. Shaq had an AEW wrestling match tonight.
Babs, do you know anything about this?
The highlights
are insane. He went through two tables, he powerbombed Cody Rhodes, and he pulled a random over the. It was nuts.
Yeah. Shaq has been a big fan of wrestling like for forever, and so WWE. Don't forget, he actually, I believe, had some sort of match against the Big Show maybe at WrestleMania, or they're trying to bring him in for something like that. AEW is on. There he is.
Oh, my God.
Right through the chain. Oh, my God.
It's like Bill's Mafia status.
You know they paid him like – they got to pay him like $1 million to do that.
Shaq looks so young. I always see him on TNT, like on Inside the NBA in a big suit and everything, like, facial hair close-up. He looks so much younger when he's doing things like this, like being an athlete.
AEW is on TNT, so they have that connection with them. And I don't know if you remember even last year when AEW first was coming out, you'd see commercials all the time. If you watch TNT, you're always going to see AEW commercials coming up. So they kind of – worlds come together. Tony Khan is the owner of AEW. Tony Khan's dad owns the Jaguars. They have tons of money. They have more money than Vince McMahon. So they can afford to do these little things and
be creative with it.
And I'm sure with Shaq, they probably told him months and months ago that they're going to do this so he can get in shape and get ready for it.
I'm not a big wrestling guy, but what channel is Wipeout on?
ABC.
I need to watch this. Yeah, I need to do some more research on this. We need to cover Wipeout on the show next.
Yeah, we'll be the biggest Wipeout. But also,
or we could send Babs to compete.
What was I just going to say? is this going to be Raw vs. War Part 2? Because I could get me back into WWE.
I mean, it's just, I think WWE is just too big of a corporation and conglomerate in the wrestling world that they're not going to fail, and this doesn't even matter to them.
Yeah, but isn't like product difference so crazy?
Ratings don't. So it's, this is what's crazy about AEW.
Ratings is product.
Yeah, but WWE just across the board, like they have network, they have the network. They're just the bigger name, and they're more international based too. They're so huge across overseas.
It's not going to start today, but you never know. AEW is picking up more than I thought it would.
So what's crazy is ratings in general have just gone down. Like they're not good anymore on cable. But the only thing that sells is live sports and live TV. So WWE is going to keep getting billion-dollar contracts, and AEW is going to get theirs as well too. It's there's still money to be made, which is crazy. But AEW needs more Shaq stuff. They need more crossover. They need LeBron James somehow to be there. They need to do that stuff. That's what made WCW.
Masvidal was there tonight.
This is not my world. I have no input.
Well, Masvidal, the UFC has it. Anyway, big UFC card this weekend.
Is there a good UFC fight? I don't follow it unless I get a notification that like McGregor's fighting or something.
Yeah, there's three title fights.
Really? Anyway. I'll be interested. I'll probably check him out if I recognize at least one name, but we can wrap up here.
Amanda Nunez.
I know her.
UFC.
Isn't she Cyborg or someone? Is that her name? One of them named Cyborg? I don't know. I don't know enough about that. I want to get into it, but let's move into our final thoughts. Are you none of you guys thinking?
Oh, I got one. Okay. If you're a true Withers fan,
who?
Stay tuned.
Who?
If you're a true Withers fan, it's coming. That's my final thought.
I don't even I don't know what you said.
Then hey, the message wasn't for you then. If you're a true Withers fan, it's coming.
So that's got to be for someone, a very specific group then. I got you. Babs?
My final thought is, if you have made it this far, tune in on Sunday, 1 p.m. Tony Maserati and myself will be getting back together for a little Instagram live and talking Patriots and everything about stuff. So with sports.
And if you're listening after Sunday, tune into March Madness and watch the UConn Huskies win their fifth championship. And if you're watching after March Madness or listening after, if you're listening in April, congratulate the UConn Huskies for winning their fifth championship.
Well, I think Boston's Big Three should make a March Madness bracket.
Oh, we will. Absolutely. It's bracket season.
I think that we should expand it to advanced.
Absolutely. We'll get a selection Sunday, something going, get a special, maybe do a special. We haven't done a bonus episode in a while. We could do something like that.
My brackets just win. My bracket's all awesome.
I already spoiled it for you. So you already know who's winning. So that's
my team, the only battle. I kicked your team's ass. The card.
Whoa.
We got the feedback.
I think
Tyler, but
yeah, I've got no feedback. My team
is quite lit. To your rebuttal to Cosmo, make him miss shots. Rick Sanchez, murder the fairies. Like,
I don't doubt it. And then Aang's the wild card. I know your Aang pick got some love. But thank you guys for tuning in to Boston's Big Three, episode 95. Let the madness begin.